building a company from nothing is freaking hard. Us entrepreneurs are expected to deal with unimaginable challenges and somehow keep a cool head through it all. This is The Art of Entrepreneurship, and I'm your host, Jackie Hermes. I grew my company, Excelity, from 0 to 7 figures with no partners and no funding. The Art of Entrepreneurship is a show where we cut through the BS and dig into what it actually takes to start and grow a company. If you give me your time, I promise it won't be wasted. Now let's get to work.
Hello and welcome back to The Art of Entrepreneurship. Today, I am talking with my guest, Rich Turgeon, about what it means to actually humanize a brand. This is something that people talk about on LinkedIn all the time. Marketers talk about it all the time, but it's much easier said than done. Everyone's always like, I want to bring a face to the brand. I really want people to feel something when they interact with my brand. Okay, but how do you actually do that? Well, that's the conversation that Rich and I have today. We talked about why imperfection actually connects with people more than perfect and polished brand videos, how video builds trust faster than almost any other kind of content, and we make a pretty good case for why you should do it, and how his own creative projects, including making music videos, shape the way that he tells brand stories. If you have ever struggled to make your content feel real, which honestly, who hasn't if you've created content, or you've wondered how to share more of the human side of your business, this one is going to hit home. All right, here's my conversation with Rich, and thank you for tuning in.
So Rich, I want to talk about humanizing brands today. I've been working my entire career in just older industries that I think maybe don't always lend themselves to the humanization of brands. And I know that you've done work in those industries as well. Can you talk to me a little bit about why it is important to humanize a brand with like personality or emotion, in your opinion?
I think the short answer to that is it builds trust and credibility, and it humanizes brands where that's not always the first, I guess, instinct is to showcase humanity. Like we both work in a lot of tech and finance and B2B type of clients.
Yeah.
And it's typically about the product, the platform, the features and the benefits and things like that. But one of the first things I recognized in coming back to consult with Atlas FX was we have these like incredibly articulate, bright, camera ready leads in the form of the three founders.
Yeah.
Let's get these personalities out there so that people can see who's running the company, which is of course good for business, right? Like if they're going to make a major decision on what FX risk management platform to use, they're going to want to meet the founders and not just, let's say, sales. They want to know, can I trust this person? Are they accessible? What do they like to work with? All those things that we look for in interviews and exploring who we want to work with, right? Especially when it comes to such big decisions. So it's like, it's a no-brainer to showcase your people and your team. And that was actually one of the first things I did when I came back was like, let's get you out there on camera and on YouTube. So
yeah, I think, you know, when I say like I've spent my whole career in tech, right? And that is not necessarily the most human place to be. And you have done so much interesting work and just, you know, like your band and the music videos that you do just outside of that. Tell me a little bit about that part of your life and kind of how it lends itself to, I guess, the humanization of brands and how it lends itself to your work.
Well, thank you, first of all, for that, for the kind words. I'm a creative director. That's my background. And I have a writing background, but I'm also, you know, I went to film school. I'm very visual. I'm into photography. I started out as a designer. All these things, I think, make me kind of like a full spectrum creative and marketer. They feed into each other. I think that's the short answer, is that I have to create to be happy in my music life and my writing life. It's something that I have to do, but those lend themselves to what I do in my day job work, if you will, right? Yeah. Like it's a sandbox where I can try new things. I can call it my own. I don't have clients that need to approve things. Not that that's a bad thing, because I love to collaborate, but that's actually where I learned a lot about AI. I learned a lot about video editing. I learned a lot about shooting low budget you know, filmmaking techniques, doing shot lists, all of this stuff that I do outside of my marketing work is practically the same thing because I'm bringing that back to my marketing work.
Yeah, absolutely. What is your process for creating that authentic brand video versus something that might be that really polished? I would say when I go out there on social, I tend to want to be really polished. And that mm-hmm. used to be more popular, especially on LinkedIn years ago, like when I got started, having everything super polished and having the professional photography and, you know, professional videography and everything really professionally written. That was what was popular at that point. Making the transition to the selfie, the really informal selfie video, and just kind of like stream of consciousness writing about whatever has kind of actually been hard for me because I tend to lean a little bit more polished. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that process of kind of, I guess, meeting people where they are and like making the kind of content that they want to consume, especially on behalf of a brand.
I think that question points to sort of what I'm seeing, like as a marketer and somebody that scrolls on their phone at night, like probably everybody else, right? Where people have gotten thousands and thousands and thousands of views. These, you know, they built their sort of brand with these very informal looking videos, like they're recording them in their car. Now, I don't advocate that for my clients as a matter of routine, but if it's done right, it can't hurt. It works for people that are trying to make that direct human connection and they're not selling, let's say, a B2B platform. They're selling themselves as a relationship expert or, you know, whatever their coaching is, that sort of thing. It works great. Like record in your car. As long as you're articulate and coming across as credible, it's fine. Now, like I said, I don't know, like you, I don't know if that would be my day-to-day approach. Yeah. Getting it in the mix, sure. And I just think it points to, like you said, kind of where we are and how people want to engage with these personalities where they're handing over their clicks, their views, their likes, or their money in some cases, right? But I'll give you a real-world example, I think, in this territory of keeping things real to some degree. Like when I did a testimonial, I called a team profile video of John Otunni. He has a very interesting background at Atlas FX. He's an ex-NFL football player, and he approaches life with like a rigor and discipline that I recognized in his story. And then, you know, he built this company from the ground up. And so I connected the dots when I interviewed him between like his background and how he lives his life and kind of like how he brings that to Atlas FX and the company and turned it into a 5-minute video. And Jono in camera, you know, you'll see like there's some ums, there's some ahs, but like for the most part, he's a very articulate guy, but it is not supposed to be a super slick polished video. It's supposed to be, here's a guy talking to you in conversation about his story. And that's what I want. And I think that that's what people engage with. That's gotten since thousands and thousands of views. And it puts his personality out there in a way that's really real and authentic and tells his story to those who might not have the benefit of meeting him, but yet are still interested in the company and, you know, his background and who's running it, right? So it's really putting a face to the personality or to the name rather. But I hold documentary and journalistic storytelling in high regard. And that's something that not only do I like, it's something that I think works for brands and how brands are going to be talking to their customers at an increasing level. And that's started a while ago, but I think that that's really going to be the future of marketing, if not the present, where, you know, brands are not doing these kind of push commercials and their big moment is like once for a 30-second Super Bowl spot. That's in the past. I think mm-hmm. that brands are going to need to engage people on a more human, real level. That's what customers expect. And so that format lends itself to showcasing personalities behind the brand, which of course, like that translates into their values, their mission, their approach to the product and how they deal with their clients and customers. So
yeah, I couldn't agree more. And you know what? Watching that video, I've known him for a while and I learned a lot about him after watching that video. When you are making a big purchase, like working with Atlas FX, you want to know who is behind the company. And it's just working with, like the salesperson that you contact, or you want to know who's coming up with, you know, like the software, the algorithm. The more you can get to know the people within the company and the founders and all of that kind of stuff, the better when you're making a purchase like that. And I almost think that consumers expect it these days. They're doing so much research online before they ever get to the point where they're even speaking to sales at a company. I think the latest figure I read was about 70% of their buying process. And so you have to make that stuff available to them. And I do think that things like those founder profiles and, you know, like those first person videos are really important, but yet so many companies are really hesitant to do them. Since you came into Atlas, it's one thing that you have really focused on and just being really intentional about bringing their faces to the brand. Was that a challenge, or was everyone just willing to kind of get on video? And why do you think it is so important? Which I know you just kind of talked about that with the John O. Spotlight.
Yeah, that's a great question. The short answer is that they've been wonderful partners and collaborators, and it really, there wasn't heavy resistance just because the pros are so obvious. Like, people can see you 24/7, and it will help build our YouTube channel. It helps with search engine rankings. YouTube is the number two search engine in the world, second only to Google itself, right? So it's kind of a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. Spend a half hour for an interview, be on our channel forever for people to access anytime they want.
Yeah, know? Absolutely.
All right, y'all, it's shameless plug time. I want to take a quick break to chat with you about Excelity, my full service marketing agency. For the last 12 years, we've been working closely with B2B software and service companies. Now we are expanding and looking for growth stage companies with a bold vision, but maybe lacking the marketing strategy or resources to get there. Or hey, you might have resources that just aren't working out. We definitely see that all the time. At Excelity, our team gets results and we have a ton of fun doing it. I'm sure you can tell that from listening to this podcast. So if you or someone you know is a fit, check us out at excelitymarketing.com or reach out to me directly on LinkedIn.
Well, you answered my next question, which was, what do you have to say to people who, especially leaders who are hesitant to get on video? It's a no-brainer. And I think that there is that level, like we said, of fear that everyone has. And it is kind of like riding a bike. Like, you have to learn how to do it. And it's not like you don't just turn on the camera and suddenly, ta-da. The guy that I first started working with, his name is Quentin Alums. In 2018, when I started recording videos, he used to tell me I had a video voice and presence where I had like this high-pitched voice and I would show up completely different than I am on video. And he was like, stop doing that. Like, that's not you. And like, even I, you know, had to get used to it. One other nugget.
You still seem like Jackie to me.
Ah, good. See, well, this is many years later. I mean,
not video Jackie.
We're 7 years into this, so that's good.
Okay.
What do you have to say to anyone who's hesitant to get started on something like this?
Well, I'll turn it back to you speaking about yourself. Practice makes perfect.
Yep.
There's clear rationale for being out there, and people, 9 out of 10 people want more video from their brands. I see it almost as a requirement. And what I would say for those who they don't have the skills or whatever, hire some help. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of freelance help you can get online from all over the world. You can choose people, you know, that have experience in your vertical, in your aesthetic, whatever it is. So you can always get help in terms of being on camera. Again, practice makes perfect. And I stress this with our leads too all the time. Like, please, please prepare, which they do. You know, I'll send some questions in advance. I ask them to get their sort of gear going and make sure that they're, you know, no distractions, that they're comfortable. Is it a time of day where you feel talkative and not exhausted? All of these things. Preparation is super important. It's just like presenting. You don't have to be fake or be canned, but just do some basic preparation. Mm-hmm. That's another, I guess, tip I would give somebody who might be hesitant. But the third thing is, you know, help your company out by putting yourself out there and engaging with your customers in this authentic virtual. Yes, it's virtual, it's digital, it's on YouTube or whatever. It's not interactive per se, but it's only going to help humanize your brand. And, you know, I, like many marketers, probably yourself included, but like, we all love Apple's marketing. And of course, like the company was built on Steve Jobs' personality just as much as it was on the products, right? And Joni Ive and these other talented geniuses that, you know, would create these videos or do keynote speeches, et cetera, which you can capture on video, by the way. You don't need to do that in person because events are logistically very heavy, right? And expensive. So again, just remember that some of the greatest brands in the world have been built on these personalities. We're seeing that more and more today where, you know, we know the CEOs are celebrities now, right? Like Elon Musk being on Saturday Night Live, Bill Gates, Jimmy Buffett, Warren Buffett. You know, these leading business personalities know it's to their benefit to get out there and to get exposure in this format.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I know we have just a few minutes left, but I want to make sure we talk about AI. Of course, it's a topic that everyone's talking about, and it's a way that you can create video. What do you think are the benefits and the risks of using AI to create brand video? And specifically, I'm thinking about using AI voices and AI faces, because those are getting so realistic, and I see so many more companies doing that. I'm interested to hear your take on this.
Great question. I see more pros than cons is the short answer. And I think that there's much more of a risk of not using these tools simply because, and I'll give you a few real world examples. For Atlas, you know, I use free advertising here. I use a tool called Synthesia to create an AI generated speaker for our top 10 video. I can be transparent about that because this is an industry conversation. Yeah. I wouldn't like broadcast it on our LinkedIn channel or something like that. But, you know, this, I knew that we needed, it was an explainer video. We needed to explain our platform in clear human terms and in a way that was engaging. And so this was a go-to method. At the time, it was before I was seeing, you know, any of these, honestly. Like, I'm not saying I'm a pioneer, but I wouldn't say that they were ubiquitous at the time, which was like several months ago now, and things are moving fast, by the way, of course. But that was a way to do a desktop production. And I did the scripting, but I hired an editor. But for the most part, I put together that video myself, you know, and hired an editor slash animator for sort of like the B-roll and like animations and things like that to really help dress it up. So coming back to your sort of rewards risk, I think the rewards are far outweigh any sort of risk. Yeah. I think the risk, the watch out here is if you're completely 100% dependent on AI to blast out video content, you do run the risk of it coming across as like, I don't even know these people. And it's kind of, that's turning me off. It's not authentic. Sometimes people can identify if it's AI generated and sometimes not. That is going to shift more into the not category than the other way around, right? Mm-hmm. It's already getting there. If I weren't convinced by the work that we're putting out there, I wouldn't have used those tools because they wouldn't have been ready. I don't feel certain tools are ready enough to convince viewers that it's not AI.
Yeah.
So you always have to maintain that authenticity, that sense of storytelling, structure. Does it look aesthetically professional? All those things, right? Check those boxes. But in terms of the rewards, AI is not going away. We know that it's here to stay. And so the rewards are like, if you are experimenting with these tools, if you're being hands-on with them, if you're trying them out, if you're adding them to the marketing mix in a balanced way, and it's not like your sole sort of way of generating content, I think that it's an amazing way to get things done.
Yeah. And I think that there is a way to sprinkle in use of AI too, versus it being, you know, like you said, your whole credit, right? There's this brand that I follow, Smashed, where they had this really cool campaign that they had an intern doing this like challenge to grow her social media following, and they named the brand and they did all of this. And then after the challenge was over, they got rid of the intern and they were like, here's our new intern and it's an AI person. And everyone was like, what? Wait, what? Like that, that is not a way that I would recommend using AI.
No.
I think she grew like over 1 million followers on Instagram and it slashed in half very quickly because people were like, this is not what I signed on for, right? Okay. I have one last kind of rapid fire question. If people are just getting started, like a brand is just starting to invest in video, where do you recommend they begin?
More often than not, you'll find a staff member. I'm thinking real small scale here for the startups and the mid-sized companies, which I work with plenty of those. Jackie, you probably have too.
Yep.
But like, there's plenty of people that are enthusiastic about creating content. Leverage that. Ask people if they're passionate about it and empower them with some tools or a monthly subscription. My tech stack is crazy. I've got all these monthly subscriptions to, you know, different AI platforms and tools. I'm trying new things all the time and canceling, I'm resubscribing, all that. So just start. That's the best advice I can have on not just a productivity level, but like from a dipping your toes in the video landscape is just start. And I want to give Riverside, actually, I don't earn a commission from this or anything, but like they're very good about educational content. And so are the folks from Descript and Squadcast in the form of their email newsletters, where they're giving tons of great advice that is not about go out and spend thousands of dollars. It's actually like, here's how you can do a minor editing trick. Here's a lighting trick, you know, to up your game. But like, just get started with these tools that don't cost a lot and that will bring back so much in form of exposure for your brand.
I love that. So just start and bite off what you can chew. And biting off what you can chew, that is advice I give all the time, because the best way to fail is to plan something much bigger than you can accomplish. And then
that's right.
It can be very discouraging to do something like that. I love it. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it and loved this conversation. And for everyone listening, please share this with one person that will get value out of this conversation and tag us on social if you share it there. And I will talk to you next time. Thanks, Rich.
Thanks, Jackie. It's been great.